This is the Bridge of the Faithful podcast, featuring your host, Jenna Erlandson.
Hey guys, and welcome to the Bridge of the Faithful podcast. I'm Jenna, and we are all traveling this faithful bridge together. These episodes are just my documentation of the things that God is showing me as I search to understand what faithfulness really means. You can find this and all other episodes at botfpodcast.com. You can also connect with me on Facebook at facebook.com/botfpodcast, Instagram at botfpodcast, or you can email me, Jenna, at botfpodcast.com. And today we're continuing on with our Motherhood Identity series. We are here with Winfrey Brisley. She is the editor, right?
Yes.
With Risen Motherhood. You can find them at risenmotherhood.com. They have a book, which I just started listening to the audiobook. It's been super encouraging. I highly recommend it. They have a blog and they have a podcast. All their resources, great things for encouragement for moms trying to get through, especially now. We're recording this during kind of the COVID chaos. Some places are still in quarantine. Some people are letting up. Others are going through their second wave. There's just a lot of unrest. Motherhood during all of that's really hard. I found Risen Motherhood's blog. It was on Facebook. I'm not sure if it was like an advertisement or if someone shared this specific article, but it was talking about finding happiness in motherhood. And I had really been struggling with the joy of motherhood and just being overwhelmed with all of the emotional parts and all of, I've got needy little kids and just feeling like, why am I even doing this? This is exhausting. There's no joy in here. And I read that article and it just kind of reshaped my mind and brought me back to what it's really about. So I reached out and Winfrey is amazing and decided to join in with us and talk a little bit about that. So Winfrey, can you tell us how you became a mom besides the obvious you became a mom?
Yeah. So my husband and I got married right out of college. We were super young and decided to wait a little while. So we'd been married about 5 years and I was a high school English teacher at the time. That kind of led into the editing work that I do now. But I was a high school English teacher. By God's grace, we decided we were ready to give it a shot. Got pregnant fairly quickly. And then my due date was about a week after my high school seniors were set to graduate. So I spent the school year trying my very best to get through to the end so that I could get my seniors graduated, give them the full year, finish out teaching. And then the plan was to go out and become a stay-at-home mom once this little guy came. And the timing worked out actually really perfectly. I went into labor the morning of graduation. And so I didn't make it. He came and it was a fairly uneventful delivery and just a really sweet experience getting to meet my first little guy. So yeah, I'm really thankful for how that went. And then I have two more little guys that had some maybe more eventful births and some other difficulties, but it's really sweet to be a mom to three boys.
You're still at home?
Yes. So I've been home. My oldest is 7. I've been home since he was born and then do some writing, editing work, kind of where I can squeeze it in.
I know that feeling. So yeah. All of us moms have something hard that they have to push through. And I think that's a lot of how God grows us into knowing him better or to growing a specific part of us that needs some chiseling out. What is your specific mom struggle?
Yeah, I was thinking, I feel like there are plenty I could probably talk about. But for me, it's really the day in, day out, constant call to sacrifice and serve and die to self. I think I tend toward a comfort idol. I would love to be served and to pamper myself. So there's this constant push for me of remembering Christ came not to be served, but to serve, and that I grow in Christlikeness as I serve. And just remembering that even, you know, in God's economy, things don't work out quite the same. So we would think, you know, the more we pour out, we just end up completely empty. But Jesus said, the one who loses her life finds it, right? The one who pours out is being poured into. It's more blessed to give than to receive. So for me, there's always that rub of really trusting the Lord with that, that I can continue to serve and continue to pour out and that he will be faithful to sustain me in that.
Yeah, we get drained a lot as moms. That is definitely hard to get through. Are there any specific moments where you were just at your end with energy or sleep deprivation or something where God really showed his faithfulness?
Yeah. So, well, I would say between 5 and 7 o'clock almost every day, maybe. But, yes. But on the larger scale that maybe you're talking about, my boys have all had, as newborns, difficulty with reflux and lower GI issues. And there have just been hours of inconsolable babies and crazy diets so that I could nurse them and trying to do all kinds of things to get them to be able to sleep. And I had, after my first two, I had gone through all these things. When I was pregnant with my third, I just really prayed specifically about those things and just asked the Lord to let the third time be the charm and that it would be different and that this one would not have all of those issues. And then it turned out his were the worst of all. So in the midst of that, I'm trying to take care of these two older boys. I have this infant who is just, I mean, he couldn't sleep without being held. My diet got down to, I could pretty much only eat meat and produce. I was starving all the time. I was exhausted. I was up at all hours and then trying to figure out during the day how to care for these other boys. And yeah, I mean, I was just completely depleted. And I can't say that there was some like amazing earth-shattering moment, but I just saw the Lord show up like every day, one day at a time. He got me through it. And when I would, you know, get up the next morning exhausted and thinking, how am I going to do it today? Or practically, how will I hold the baby enough so he can sleep, or how will the big boys get fed, or how will these things happen? And the Lord just provided, whether that was my older kids being unusually cooperative at a really opportune moment, or a friend dropping off a meal, or my husband being able to step in on something, and or even just if there were times that everyone was crying and I was at my wit's end, just the Lord being present with me in that and giving me an ability to be calm and to kind of troubleshoot and figure out how to get through. I look back and I'm not exactly sure how we survived it, but we did. And now that little boy's too, the Lord got us through it.
Yeah. And I think the big thing about your answer is that you didn't have to do it by yourself.
Yes.
Us as moms, I don't know if it's just being Americans and we can do it on our own and super independent or what, but I feel like moms just have the hardest time asking for help because it's like you're admitting you're not good enough. That's just such a lie. Like, of course we're not good enough. We're human and we need help. And getting through that requires us letting ourselves not get in the way of other people wanting to help us and letting God use other people in our lives. I'm glad you got through that.
A good friend of mine has had to tell me, I am particularly bad about not wanting help and trying to, I can do this and I'll push through and I'll be fine. She's had to say to me, hey, you actually love me as a friend when you let me help you. And she said, you know, I enjoy being able to help you. And when you turn down my offers or you won't reach out when you need something, you deny me the gift of being able to love you and serve you in that way. And I was like, what? Really? But the more I thought about it, I realized that that's how the body of Christ is meant to work. And so sometimes we, especially as moms of young children, are in seasons of really needing help and needing to receive. And there are other people who are in seasons of really being able to give and wanting to pour into others. And so we bless them when we let them help us and when we acknowledge that we need the help. And the body works better and everyone is served well when we're willing to invite people in and let that guard down and say, like, hey, raise a hand. I need help. Please help me.
So speaking of that super mom mentality, I feel like we all tend to have some sort of part of our identity that we place in that's not Jesus. Like some people are the Pinterest moms that have those amazing birthday parties, or the moms that have their kids in every possible activity, or the well-behaved child mom, which I'm definitely not in that one, or the working mom. You know, we all have that kind of like mom identity that we carry that's sometimes too heavy of a burden. Is there one that you tend to lean toward?
Yeah, I think I would probably combine some of those and maybe call it sort of a performance identity of whether it's how well my kids are behaving or how well they're doing at school or how well they're doing on their sports team, kind of some of those different aspects that you mentioned, but putting them together in terms of how well they're performing. I think I can easily get caught up in sort of their success and finding my identity in that. So if, you know, everything's going smoothly and they seem to be doing well, I'm feeling good about myself as a mom. But if we have a meltdown in Target and, you know, there's screaming and I'm trying to navigate that, or we have low test grade from school or something, someone seems not to be flourishing in a particular activity or environment, it's easy for me to get weighed down in that and really be struggling with, you know, am I doing a good job as a mom or am I failing? Or, you know, so it's, I would say it's a performance issue for me of how they seem to be excelling or not in various areas.
Is that how you are yourself? Like, are you kind of a performance-driven person?
Yes. Yeah. I'm highly, I'd say like highly driven, highly motivated by success and performance. And so there's always a struggle for me as a believer in remembering what is actually important and what is essential in the Christian life versus trying to, well, and realizing that it's all about God's glory and things being pointed to him and not about trying to reflect on myself.
So your own personal struggles kind of carry over to motherhood.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. I think I have a struggle with thinking about how things reflect on me, my performance in various areas. And so I do the same thing to my kids, and I take on their performance as a reflection of me as well.
So how does God pull you back from that?
I've been studying John for quite a while, and I recently got to chapter 17, and verse 3 really struck me and has been a big perspective shifter and just a helpful almost tool in a way for me to process through things. But John 17:3 says, "And this is eternal life, that they know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So just that simple idea, this is eternal life, that they know you. Like, that's a very grounding truth that points me to what really matters. Like, knowing God is eternal life. So for my boys to know the Lord, for me to know the Lord, for others to know the Lord, that is what is eternal. And these other things that I tend to get bogged down in, or that I'm trying to evaluate myself by or evaluate my kids by, usually are very temporal things that don't have eternal significance, right? So a meltdown in Target doesn't have eternal significance in terms of how it reflects on me, but it can be an opportunity for me to point my voice to the Lord if I handle it well. And if I take it as an opportunity to share the gospel and parent them with truth and grace. Having this distinction between what's eternal and what's temporary, I think helps me remember that it's not really about how my kids reflect on me or how my performance as a mom reflects on me. It's about me being a reflection of the Lord so that my boys know him and so that others know the Lord.
It is a good reminder of, like, everybody has those Target moments with their kids or Walmart moments or whatever, to not be ashamed of just those moments, but to realize that what you do shows Jesus to your kids, because that's the most important thing, not getting them to behave well or being Mary Poppins, but showing them that in all situations, Jesus is what rules your choices and stuff, even though we don't always do a great job with that.
Yes.
So speaking of Target moments, this episode is going to focus a lot on finding joy in motherhood, even when it's hard. We're in the middle, I said, of the COVID stuff. You are like me. You have littles. Others of you have teenagers, which brings on a whole set of things that I am trying not to think about right now, because I just would be overwhelmed thinking about my kids as teenagers. But moms in all stages, especially now, are just really struggling in finding joy in motherhood. When we're pregnant with our first child, we just picture these beautiful moments with chubby, tiny babies that giggle and smile, and you just feel full of love. And then they come and they're great. And then, like, you deal with crying for how long did you have to deal with that?
Oh, months. When I can't remember all the details, I've just kind of let it be in my memory, but it was a long time.
A long time. And then it goes to tantrums, and there's always something that proves that we are in a fallen world with tiny little sinners just like us. We get overwhelmed in the mundane and the chaos. So where, or have you been in a place where you forgot to find joy?
Yeah, I mean, I joked about this a little earlier, that every day between 5 and 7 o'clock, but I actually think there's something to that. My kids sort of, it feels like they just lose it at that time of day. Even, you know, they talk about with little babies that that's the crying hour or whatever. But even as they've gotten older, my boys just get this kick of energy and just go crazy. It just undoes me a lot of times, and trying to figure out how in the midst of this do I have joy and not resent if my husband's not home from work to help me, or how do I faithfully walk through that end of the day time every day when it feels like it's so hard, not even just be faithful, but yeah, how do I find joy in the midst of that instead of aggravation or resentment? And I think you said there the idea that when we were pregnant and we're thinking about how things are going to go, we have these sort of expectations of all these wonderful, beautiful things, and it's going to be so easy. I think expectations are really so important. Just having a reasonable, realistic picture of how things are going to go in light of the gospel and of what scripture tells me about who my kids are, right? So at this point, none of them has made a profession of faith. It's helpful for me to remember that they are very much still driven by their sin nature. If I expect that they are not going to require regular discipline and they're just going to be well behaved all the time, I'm really setting myself up for a lot of frustration and to make it really hard for me to be joyful, because every time I have to discipline them, I'm going to be annoyed, or why do I have to keep dealing with this same behavior over and over? But if I can remember that they're fallen just like I am, and just like I struggle with sins over and over, and the Lord deals with me again and again and parents me through those, and that's going to be the process. And if that's my expectation, then I can find joy in realizing, hey, I get to share the gospel with them again. Maybe this one kid got to hear it 10 times today, or 10 times between 5 and 7 o'clock, because we had the same issue
in practice.
Yes, we'll keep talking about how the gospel fight this over and over. Or even just things like, I have 3 boys. You know, it's not realistic for me to expect that they're going to always be just clean and calm and never be rowdy or messy or crazy, right? If I can remember that they are boys who are fearfully and wonderfully made with desires for exploration and adventure, and that they love to be active, then I can find joy in seeing that's how the Lord has made them, and I can give them boundaries and parent them with truth and grace, but be able to enjoy how they are made and how they are reflecting their Creator. The expectations and the remembering of who we are and how we're made and how sin interacts in our lives helps me a lot with being able to find joy in those hard times.
I feel like that should be true, or it should be, it is true in pretty much every relationship that we have.
Yes. Yes. It works for marriage too.
Marriage, with your parents, your own parents, with your friends, just yeah, having those. I feel like everybody in any kind of relationship should have like a yearly business meeting talking about expectations. We clear the air and make sure that we're not offending anyone. But yeah, that's a really good point of having, you know, I do think about that a lot with marriage. I do some marriage ministry with my husband and we talk about that. It's just not ever come to my attention to think about that with my kids.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good point. It's easy. I think of it more with marriage. And I feel like some wise person at some point pointed this out to me, so I don't want to take credit for it, but I can't think at the moment of who it was. Whoever out there, thank you, that reminded me of this. I was like, yes, that is really helpful. I need to remember. It's like when scripture talks about that God remembers our frame and he knows that we are dust. It's like remembering they're little sinners. They need Jesus.
And then also trying to keep in mind like developmental stages.
Yes. What are they capable of?
How would you define joy in motherhood then, if it's not in feeling happy all the time about your bundle of joy?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think joy is more of a recognition of God's goodness, a satisfaction in Him that is not circumstantial to, yeah, how are my kids behaving, or how is the day going today? Did I get the time alone that I wanted? I feel like joy is separate from, in a lot of ways, our expectations are, sort of, even though I said expectations are important, like I feel like all of my expectations could go unmet. All the things that I'm wanting theoretically could go awry. The day could just be a mess, but I could still have joy if that is grounded in my satisfaction in the Lord and in remembering, like scripture talks about the joy of our salvation, that everything else could go wrong. Still, the Lord is good to me and my salvation is secure. And so I can look to that. So I think it's, yeah, I think in the midst of motherhood, being able to say, if I strip away everything else, if everything else is hard, my salvation cannot be taken away. I still have my relationship with the Lord. He loves me and I can rest and be satisfied in those things no matter what else comes.
So the keynote of that is our joy in motherhood does not come from our children in any way, shape, or form.
I mean, I guess I do find joy in them. I do think the Lord gives joy through them. I guess I'm saying I think I can, that we can still have joy even when things are hard with them. Yeah, I feel like kids can certainly be an avenue through which we experience the joy of the Lord. They are a blessing, a good gift. Certainly have moments where I sit back and look at my boys and I have joy just in watching who they are and what the Lord's doing in their lives and their relationship with one another, with friends or different things. But I think all that is ultimately stemming from joy in the Lord and giving him the credit for those good things that I'm seeing and seeing all of it as a reflection of him and the work that he's doing and the good gifts that he's giving.
So what does that look like in a Christian mom who loves the Lord and is very grounded and anchored? Her joy is anchored in the Lord. How does that look different from someone who is not a believer?
If you're not a believer, there's not that hope that if all else fails, I still have the Lord and I still have my salvation, right? So if I don't have a relationship with the Lord, there's a lot more riding on my kids and how they turn out. And I'm probably looking to them for significance and for a measure of success and purpose. And I'm probably putting a lot of expectation on them for joy. So it's going to be pretty easy to be disappointed when things go poorly because I don't have anything else underlying that to look to. I don't have anything else to base my joy on. So I think it's ultimately the Christian's hope. Jonathan Edwards talked about the fact that as Christians, we have the hope that our good things can never be taken away from us. All of our bad things work for our good, and the best things are yet to come. And so even in the midst of motherhood, you can say, as good as our children are and all the gifts that we have and all the things that we enjoy about it, there's a greater good in our relationship with the Lord that can never be taken away. Even the bad things, the hard things of motherhood, the difficulties, the struggles, the Lord is working all of those for our good, and the best things are yet to come, right? So eternity with the Lord and heaven and living with him with these new resurrected bodies and all the sad things coming in true, all these wonderful things are still to come. And so we have those hopes to look to even as we struggle through the difficulties of motherhood.
And that kind of takes some pressure off.
Yes.
I've heard someone wisely tell me, I'm not powerful enough to upset God's plans. Even on my worst days when I'm the one having more tantrums than my kids, or I make the mistake or put too much expectations on them, like that takes pressure off because we know God has this in his hand and our job is to be faithful with the gift of motherhood that he gave us.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Even on our worst day, in our worst moment, he is still able to work good from that, to redeem it in our lives and in our kids' lives. The thing I go back to, I think what matters to me probably most in the world is that I see my children love the Lord and I see them become believers. And so I have to remember that is ultimately in the Lord's hands. I cannot change their hearts. I can be faithful to teach them the word and pray with them and pray for them and share the gospel with them. But ultimately, that's in the Lord's hands, and I can rest in knowing that he is good and he is right and he does all things well. I can trust in his sovereignty over their lives.
So speaking of God's faithfulness, obviously the big theme of my podcast is faithfulness since it's in the title. So do you have any examples of where God has just proven his faithfulness to you in your motherhood journey?
I keep going back to this sort of everyday idea of just the moment by moment, how the Lord has met me and sustained me through things. I've mentioned the reflux and the crazy newborn seasons that I had and things like that. And the Lord was faithful in those as well. But what I really think about is, you know, every time that I patiently and kindly answer one of my children instead of responding with harshness, that's the Lord being faithful to bear fruit in me. Every time I can clean up another cup of spilled milk or change another dirty diaper and do that with a joyful spirit instead of a complaining and grumbling one, that's God's faithfulness to bear fruit in me. You know, so every time that my sin nature would want to respond in one way to my kids, but instead the Spirit works through me and produces, you know, love and joy and peace and patience and kindness, goodness, faithfulness, all those things, like that's the Lord's faithfulness, that he has begun a good work in me and he'll be faithful to complete it. And he's working that out every day in and out in motherhood, as I interact with my boys. Sometimes I just stand back and I'm amazed and think, wow, I thought today was going to be really rough. Like I've had mornings where I would sit down to pray and think like, God, when I look at the day ahead of me, it just seems like there's no way I get through this and think that I was faithful. There's too many hard things coming, or the schedule's too crazy, or whatever. And I've had moments where I would get to the end of some of those days and think, wow, Lord, you sustained me through every moment, and you enabled me to bear fruit instead of turning to sinful responses. And so I just love seeing how he's faithful in that moment by moment, working in our lives and enabling us to be faithful.
I think that resonates so much with us moms, because so much of our lives is the mundane, the doing over and over again. And to go back to your prayer with your third son, and he ended up being the worst case of the reflux and stuff like that. I kind of love how you still talk about God's faithfulness. Like, sometimes his answer to our prayer that we think is the best for us is going to be, no, I have something completely different.
Yes.
But you were still able to say that God was faithful, even though his answer was exactly the opposite of what you were asking for in your prayer.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, he always answers correctly. And so even though what I wanted was an easier road, he knew that what would be most sanctifying, what would make me more Christ-like, what would even honestly give me more joy in him was to have the hard road, because I saw him show up so much and I saw him sustain me so clearly. And I was brought to the end of myself and knew I really could not do that season on my own. And so it forced me, as much as I like to pretend that I'm self-sufficient, it forced me to see my limitations and see how he was caring for me and how he was providing for me, to really know and trust that he's faithful.
And God does ask us to be faithful to him. He is never failing in his faithfulness, but we often fall short. Is there a specific part of your life that you're working on to be more faithful in God, or a success story where you've done some work with God to work on your own faithfulness to him?
One, I don't know if I would call it a success story, but one area where he's been gracious to sustain me in something is being able to maintain daily time in the Word with him, even through these crazy seasons. I've always been more of a morning person and enjoyed that kind of quiet time in the morning when the house is still quiet, and having time for prayer and to study the Word. As I've approached really each of my son's births, I've thought, I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep that up. Isn't the sleep going to be more important? And kind of had this question of, do I keep trying to make that happen? What's that going to look like? And I really felt the Lord just calling me each time, like, no, keep it up. You need that. I'll sustain you. And so I've pushed through. And even when I wasn't sleeping, and even when things were really exhausting and tired, I've just tried to protect that morning time with him. He's just been so gracious to honor that faithfulness and to enable me to keep doing it. And I really feel like I could not have made it through a lot of those tough seasons, and wouldn't make it through any day at this point with any sense of success in motherhood if I didn't first have that time with him. Like, I don't think I could show up and be a Christ-like mom. I don't think I would be able to care for my boys in the way that I hope that I do, at least some of the time, without having that time with the Lord first. So it's been neat to see how he's enabled me, despite having to give up sleep or other things to be able to make that happen, how he's made up for the difference in other ways. And really, it's been so worth it to prioritize that daily time with him.
I love that. So speaking of being in the Word, this seems like a good segue into the ending. You have chosen 2 Corinthians 9:8 for your closeout verse. Can you explain the significance of that to you?
At some point in motherhood, I found this. I wish I could remember the exact time or what was going on, but I know I was feeling overwhelmed and desiring so much to be faithful with my children, and desiring to all of these good things that I wanted to be able to do, to point them to the Lord and to care for them and to be this loving and gracious mom, and feeling like I was just so coming up short in that. And I found the Lord brought me a 2 Corinthians 9:8. And it talks about how he is able to make all grace abound to us so that we can have all sufficiency and that we can abound in every good work. It's such an encouragement that we actually can do the good works that he's prepared for us to do. And he provides the grace and the sufficiency for that. I don't have to have it in and of myself. He provides that, and he has all that we need.
So before we close out with that verse, first of all, thank you. I know that after bedtime is sometimes precious when you either get some quiet or get something done. So thank you for sacrificing that to share some of your encouragement and hope to all of us out here. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others.
This has been episode 45 of the Bridge of the Faithful podcast entitled Restoring Joy in Motherhood with Winfrey Brisley. For show notes, go to botfpodcast/episode/45. You can find us on social media at Facebook or Instagram.